Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Well, this is a good show because we don't do any singing.
No.
That's our signature bit.
Yeah, it sure is.
We take a little walk down memory lane in the Pop Warner football.
Yeah, we get back into the old feeling of looking down at shoes when you're driving a sled in the football field on the gridiron. Am I right?
Yeah, and we also, let's see what I'm going to do here, tackle repointing.
Oh!
First, ADT, this episode brought to you by ADT, the nation's number one smart home security provider. All the latest innovation in smart home security, plus 24/7 monitoring. Team of pros design and install a secure smart home system just for you. And they've got 18,000 employees with connections to first responders who are always monitoring your home. Secure smart home, video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT app or your voice. This is state-of-the-art, people. Professionally monitored carbon monoxide smoke detectors. Again, carbon monoxide, the silent killer. Please, everyone understands the smoke detectors, but get on board with carbon monoxide. It will kill you in your sleep, and you need to be protected. Safety on the go with the ADT Go app with an SOS button as well. ADT.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Hey, Corolla fans, Dawson here with some good news and some bad news. Bad news first. We've sold out of Mark Garagus's mistrial for Adam's Monthly Nut. Sorry, you should have moved quicker. The good news is sales are still open for Adam's Monthly Nut shipment, but this time we're throwing in Adam Carolla's Daddy Stop Talking instead. That's right, the book inspired by Natalia Carolla. All the rest of the items are the same, and you still got the same chance to win that golden ticket for a football Sunday with Adam. Head to Carolla Drinks now and sign up for Adam's Monthly Nut, but hurry, we will sell out.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house. Ace
get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on a mandate. You get it on,
mandate
man.
It.
Welcome to Ace on the House.
Yes.
I'm Crowell. That's Stromer over
Roar.
There. I want to thank Blinds Galore and Geico and ADT and Tommy John and Zorro for sponsoring the show. What are you working on, Stromer?
Man, I got a whole bunch of work going. It's great. I have a house over in Los Angeles, which you know about. I've got the one out in beautiful Porter Ranch. I'm doing a floor and another fireplace and another.
What kind of floor?
I'm doing hardwood. I've gone hardwood crazy. I got one in Sherman Oaks too.
Hardwood.
So let me explain. So the one, this one job is an old house. It's got old white oak everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm
like what, like from the 30s or something?
It's probably late 30s, I would say. And they had a crappy carpet situation going on, and a bunch of dogs peeing everywhere. And the guy's recently single, wants to invite ladies over, but lo and behold, his house smells like piss. And one girl said to him, "Ew, your house smells like piss. I don't really want to come over here." So he said, "Okay, I'm going to drop $30,000.
Yeah.
You do the floor."
Why don't we replace that piss smell with an ether smell?
Exactly.
Yeah. You won't be bothered so
Yeah,
much.
That's right. As I make sweet love on our new floor.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
the only way that men change their design sensibility is if it is somehow impacted by the fact that some woman won't come over to your house and have sex with you. Then you'll change the piss carpet.
Yeah, there is nothing. There's nothing worse than the animal piss carpet.
No, you can't do anything.
Especially the cat piss carpet.
Oh, God.
So, goddamn, I had my dog Phil fucking hit a new low, man.
What did he do? Is it, by the way, psychologically, where is he now? 1 to 10, 10 being great. Because he was down for a minute, I think, you said.
Well, I like a big, dumb, dopey dog.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with big, dumb, dopey Phil. But big, dumb, dopey Phil is getting stuff off the counter.
Yeah.
And it used to be that you couldn't leave a pork chop on the counter. Phil would get to it.
Yeah.
But I could take my cream, my whole cream in a glass container, the thick glass container cream, because I'm worth it.
Yeah, you are.
And I could dump a little of my coffee in the morning and set it on the counter to return for a freshen up, you know, an hour later.
Yeah.
The other day I got up and I walked in and I saw Phil sitting on his bed.
Yeah.
And he's pure black. And he's covered in something white. And I realize he has taken this cream, thick glass cream container, like a pint size cream container. He's taken it off the counter. He's dragged it over to his bed. And he's now bathing in this cream. He's trying to dump it and lick it and whatever. And then he sees me and he's like, "Oh, shit." And so I'm like, "Phil." And he gets up and he starts his walk, his trot of shame, like he does a kind of like, "Oh, okay, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And he starts trotting away.
Uh-huh.
But he's covered in cream.
Sure.
And so as he's walking, trotting away through my house, he's leaving a trail of cream. And so like I'm yelling, "Phil, stay or get back here," or whatever, because I'm basically, the cream was all over his bed and then all over him, but now he's dragging it all
through.
It's
a trail of cream.
Right. And so I'm yelling like, "Phil," but he assumes he's in trouble, so he's going to keep moving. So he just keeps moving, and he goes all the way down the hall and all the way into, and he walks into my wife's office, which has carpet, and then somehow goes into the bathroom, and he sits in the corner, and he's like, "I'm pouty Phil now.
Yeah.
I done wrong, Phil." And I'm like, "Phil, you got to get out of the house." And he doesn't want to come with me because he thinks I'm, you know, punishing him or something. And I get him out, and I push him out in the side yard. I shut the door. Now there's just cream. It's all over the place because he soaked himself in cream, and he just ran it all over the house.
Right.
And then later on, I just pushed him in the swimming pool.
Good idea.
Like,
yeah.
I got hold of him, and he's like, I know I'm in trouble. I'm like, get in the pool, you know? And he's like fighting with me by the pool. And I had to, like, he's 110 pounds.
Sure.
You know? When he doesn't want to do stuff, it's hard to get him to do stuff.
Yeah.
But I eventually just shoved him into the pool.
Well, I have to take my dog Hazel into the pool occasionally and put on a rubber glove to take the impacted poo out of the dog's buttocks. And the kids are like, ew! And I'm standing there with a dog between my legs with a rubber glove on, washing my dog's ass in our pool.
Sometimes we got a cat. And I know you love cats, but yeah. Now we had a sad
cat. As they say in Spanish, gato.
We got a sad cat ending here, this is Phil licking my new cat.
My cat looks the same, Jack. I have a cat that's orange, just like that. Those cats are nuts, by the way.
We had Phil's just like, hey, new thing in my house, I'm licking you.
Yeah.
And he's just pushing her around, just knocking her around. God. His tongue's bigger than the cat. He's just pushing around. He just licked that whole cat up and down. He'll also start nibbling on the cat's head, which is just weird. And the cat, every once in a while, would just throw like a punch paw at Phil. But Phil's not deterred. Phil's got a friend.
Yeah. There's a new animal in the house.
He wants to lick.
He could eat the cat's head in one bite. Jeez. What is that cat's name?
Well, the cat's name was Kevin.
Yeah.
And I got it on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Olga, the nanny, showed up on Monday.
Yeah.
And she was like, I can't breathe in this house. And then I'm like, oh, you're allergic to cats, right? And then she's like, I'm allergic to cats. And I'm like, oh. And then I was like, wait a minute. My kids are teenagers. What do I have a nanny for again?
I'm
sure. And then she's like, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's why I have a nanny. I got a nanny because I need to do things.
So is Kevin still there? Or was Kevin thrown
out? No, she literally said, now she's in my kitchen, Olga, and she can't breathe because cat dander.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, shit. And now we had to get rid of the cat.
Oh, no.
What'd
you do with the cat?
What'd you do?
Oh, there's
what's with all the questions?
There's another. Yeah, what you guys, FBI?
Cat dander, for God's sakes. That's what happened.
Here's the deal. There's a nice family, and they have cats, and it's a friend of Natalia's, and we can go visit them, and blah blah blah. So that's all fine.
But are you sure it's not that you didn't do the old, we're taking the cat to the farm, quote-unquote, farm?
No, but I mean,
you
want to talk about the worst goddamn $290 I've ever spent in my life.
Yeah.
I go down on a goddamn Saturday afternoon. I sit in the goddamn Petco for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's $120 to adopt the cat. Then it's $180 worth of food and bed and toys and shots and everything else. Next thing you know, we come rolling out of the place with a cat and the carrier and the transport and the bed. And it's $300 lighter in the wallet.
Yeah.
Enjoy the cat on Saturday, Sunday, and then give it away on Tuesday, along with all the food and the bed and everything else. And the person who just took it all is like, yeah, all right, thanks. It's like, and it's like Natalia's like, oh, you forgot the bed, and you forgot the carry-all, and you forgot the dry food. You only got the 2 weeks worth of wet food. It's like, it's all just piling out the door. It's like, this is the worst investment I've ever made in my life.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, my phone's in here. I'm trying to fix my phone.
Well, I had my first, I'm going to have a bite of a taco that my guys who were working for me gave me, and turned abruptly to walk away and eat the taco, and did the official, I'm like an old guy, I fell down into the swimming pool at the client house.
Oh my God, your arms scraped all scraped
open,
up.
Scraped the arm open, scraped the leg, fell down, and they were all like, the guys are like, Senor, was that a pratfall? Were you kidding?
Right.
And I said, no, I'm a guy now that, like, dad fell down again guy. I just fell down and fell in the client's pool.
By the way,
right?
Jimmy hates it, but speaking of pets and pools, he once told me that he had a, when he was a kid, or he was like in junior high or something, he had a little poodle.
Yeah.
And the little poodle, I don't like, if you tell me you have a poodle or a chihuahua, I'm already done with you.
No.
So whatever your tragic story is, usually met with laughter. But Jimmy was like, Jimmy would never forgive me. He's like, he goes, I came home from junior high and I found our poodle, Fluffy, floating in the pool dead. And I was like, that's funny, Fluffy.
Yeah.
The pool. And Jimmy's like, what are you talking about? I was horrifying. I'm like, yeah, it was Fluffy in the pool. It's a poodle. Come on. Hey, you had a pool. Hey, you had a pool and a dog, bucko.
Yeah.
Or you did have a dog.
Right.
Yeah. I had, there's no pool for Fluffy to drown in at the Corolla house, and there was no Fluffy either. So I was 0-2. So you'd be shedding a tear for me. But every once in a while.
Have you fallen down, though?
I have, and it's been a while, but once in a while, Jimmy will say, like, oh, yeah, my son, we had to put the gate up or whatever when we brought him home from the hospital around the pool. Like, yeah, I don't have him ending up like Fluffy. He hates it.
Well, you know, the small dog, what about when Jack Black kicked the small dog off the bridge in that movie, Something About Mary. Fantastic.
Mary.
There's something funny about little
now,
dogs.
But here's the question. Did you misstep into the pool? Did you fully go into the pool?
I did. It was a low flower bed, and I turned with the taco. I took a bite. It was one of the best tacos I've ever had in my life, and I turned immediately out of excitement to express my gratitude. The low planter was right there on the step, and I hit it and flew forward, and I would have fallen in, planted face first on the pool stairs, but because of my cat-like, no pun intended, ability and ninja skills, I propelled myself further into the pool, but as I went, I got so deep in that I scraped on the bottom of the pool. Two places hurt my arm and my leg.
Were you?
And I was embarrassed. And
right.
You know how when you fall and you stand up quickly to pretend it didn't happen to cover your embarrassment?
Right.
I did that.
Right.
And then everybody was sort of like, you know, can you pick the pieces of carne asada off the pool water on the top?
Oh, the taco.
Yeah. Oh. But I had the shell with me in my hand still, but I lost the meat bits.
Mm.
But, you know, you fall down like that and you think like. You feel like you're the guy, the old guy that's fallen down with a metal detector, don't you?
I used to work with some Mexican guys. A guy made me tacos with cactus.
Do you like the cactus?
Fuck, no, I don't like it. Who the fuck likes cactus?
It's terrible. Isn't it called something special?
Let me tell you the worst part about the fucking cactus. Yeah. I was like, we're working in Burbank at Always Better Closets, and this guy Frank handed me some stupid taco, and I was like, it's like, this tastes like shit. And he's like,
it's cactus.
I was like, what kind of meat is this? And he's like, it's not meat, it's cactus. And I was like, I'm thinking like a gringo, you know? I go, where do you buy cactus?
Right.
Like, I've been in the supermarket 1,000 times, never seen cactus.
No.
I'm like, he's like, my wife made it. I'm like, God bless her, but where do you buy cactus? And he goes, buy cactus, and he just pointed at the fucking hill. He pointed at the hill in Burbank, like super shitty by the airport, you know, Sun Valley, the super dead, scrubby, smog covered with coyote piss and like Jet A fuel,
just
from planes taking off from Burbank. He's just like, up there.
Yeah.
And I was like, could you imagine dispatching your wife? Hey, honey, take this machete.
Yeah, and this bucket.
And this bucket and head on up. Like, you fucking
and
nuts.
Squat down and grab the cactus with the machete.
I couldn't get my wife to make half of a Blue Apron box. Forget about pointing her up into a hill.
Although now that I know my wife's true 23andMe characteristic, I found out that, did I tell you this? She has the highest percentage they've ever seen of Neanderthal.
Really?
I swear to God. And then it makes sense. I looked at my wife's arms. They're very long.
Did she?
Very long.
By the way, I just saw the show. What is it? Aerosmith in Vegas that she did?
Yeah.
Is that running now?
Yeah.
How long's her residency?
It's going to be another couple of months, I think. You went to the show?
No, I just saw an advertisement. I'd like to do that.
Well, please go. We'll get you a ticket.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, let me hit Zorro, and then we got some questions up there for us. Zorro.com. Find everything you need for businesses, any size, almost any industry, tools, equipment, safety, office, cleaning supplies, and more. Tons of stuff for electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, and more. I went onto this site. They have everything. They have the stuff for maintenance and cleaning and, you know, chemicals and, you know, like items for the bathroom and everything else. And then they have tools and everything in between.
Sell them? They sell them?
Yeah. Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Rubbermaid. They just have everything. Amazing customer service from real people based in the U.S. Fast, free shipping on orders of $50 or more. You can visit Zorro.com/Ace, sign up for their Zmail, and get 15% off your first order. That's Zorro.com/Ace. Matt, make a note. Let's order some cleanser and some cleaner and some tools and stuff from Zorro and save our 15%. I'll use my own name, man. Zorro.com/Ace. Aerosmith dates go up until June 2020.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going.
Wow.
And she just had new wings made because the old wings were so cumbersome and huge and heavy that they were difficult to tour.
Uh-huh.
And these are like inflatables now. They're really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, amazing.
All right, so Matt's got a question. Matt's in Camarillo, line three. Matt.
Isn't Camarillo the rose capital of the world, basically? Like they grow the best roses in Camarillo. Is this true?
I'll buy that. Matt?
Howdy, boys.
How are you? You have a commercial commercial building and want to separate rooms with partitions.
Yeah, so it's an automotive shop. Too bad one side sticks on the other. And part of the back shop is the original building. It's got a block on three sides. Want to put up a partition to create, you know, a fourth wall and then put a ceiling up there and isolate it from the rest of the shop. For office work and such.
Mm-hmm.
And some HVAC equipment is going up there, too. So, you know, want to isolate that sound as much as possible. So I've heard Stromer talk about the quiet rock. This is taking place out in Topeka, Kansas. The drywall guy talks about there, they have the Soundbreak XP. So I imagine it's a similar product. But I was wondering what you guys thought about, you know, that. You know, separating automotive shop sounds from, you know, an interior office. And also note that it's 12 feet on all sides.
So it's got, what?
I'm hopefully going to use 12 foot sheets of drywall so you minimize the butt.
So wait, what is the framing in the interior? Is it a classic warehouse situation?
No, it's cinder block.
Oh, okay.
It was built in the 50s.
Yeah, okay. Just by the by, if I do any building within the building, like non-load-bearing stuff, I use metal stud all the time. I'm not saying you should here, but when I built all these offices, when I built this studio, when I built the other offices on the other side, and now the other offices in the next warehouse, it's always metal stud.
Yeah.
It's always timely door jams, and it's a very easily, fast, snap it together. It's like Legos. The quiet rock, or whatever we're calling that version of it, is pretty effective. I mean, I put it up in my master bedroom, and it made a difference.
Yeah,
it was significant.
Sure did. Yeah.
You know, if you really want to go sick, you do two layers of the quiet rock and stagger the end seams.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know how far you want to go with it. But that, along with insulation, helps. There's also an isolation part of it where you don't have the thing connected sound wise to the thing that's vibrating or making the noise.
But if you want to go
like
to
the resilient channel doing the concrete,
and go to the very next level and do two walls and drywall both sides of both walls with two layers of sheetrock on both of them. So it's, you know, six total. That would, you could have a recording studio. You wouldn't hear the other side if you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Entertain the idea. I'm just worried it's going to shrink the footage inside of the office if I did that.
If you do 2x4 framing, or to Adam's point, the steel studs, and just put a 2-inch space between, you know, now you're only at like 8 inches of losing space. So that, I mean, it depends, you know, it depends how quiet you want it. If you put a wall up with Quiet Rock, it'll make a huge difference. If you really want to go to the next level, then do the 6 layers.
I would also think, here's what I would do. I would think, and I would build with an eye toward being able to add to this if I wanted to. So build.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Build your wall, put your Quiet Rock on it, put your insulation in the bays, and then live with it for a month.
Yeah.
See how it works for you. And if it's not enough, then go with the second.
There you go.
Second call.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Hey,
thanks, Matt.
Speaking of second calls, Tommy John.
Yeah, man.
Lots of underwear brands claim to be big on comfort. So why are 75% of men and women dissatisfied with their underwear? Well, I'll tell you, they haven't tried Tommy John. You wearing them?
Oh, I'm always wearing them.
I got two pair on right now. Over 7 million pairs sold. 96% of their customers rating them with 4 stars or more. Legs that never ride up. Waistbands never roll down. Horizontal quick draw fly saves men over 217 minutes of fumbling. 217. After 2 years obsessing over every detail, Tommy John is introducing the most comfortable bras on the planet. That's right, I said it. The most comfortable bras on the planet, available in 1,200 retail locations, including Nordstrom stores nationwide. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, Nathaniel from Michigan's got a question. Nathaniel?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Broseph?
Well, I'm doing a tuck point job and a brick replacement job in a house built in the 1880s. So the bricks are really soft and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I've got, you know, enough brick to fix the broke ones. I've got the right mortar composition. So, you know, I know no Portland cement before 1920. But then there's an area where it's kind of in the back where they didn't have downspouts or gutters or whatever, so that there was just water hitting the ground off the roof line and splashing up. And it kind of spalled out a lot of the brick that's real close to the ground. But it's kind of in like a secondary area where it's not really visibly seen, and rather than chiseling out all the bricks individually and replacing them all and tuck pointing them back in, I was kind of thinking that maybe it'd be better to just put like a base coat and then like a metal lath and then parge the outside of it, and I just want to make sure I'm going the right direction with that.
All right,
because
define the word parge. I don't know that word.
Well, it's kind of like rubbing out like a masonry surface with a new layer of like a cementitious type material.
Right.
You know what
so,
I mean?
So like you, smooth coat stucco.
Yeah.
Almost.
So you're going to put some like broken metal lath on it and skim it with like almost like a stucco.
Yeah. I'm thinking, but I just want to make sure that I know what the proper material is because, you know, we have freeze and thaw up here in Michigan.
Yeah.
And I just am not familiar with how I don't know what the ratios would be to mix up the proper type of material.
Yeah, I would make, there's a lot of good stuff out there now, and probably have to research it online a little bit. I would make sure that the brick was prepped really well, cleaned really well. I would probably use cement glue and paint it on before I skimmed on this this product, feather floaty kind of, or whatever kind of product we're talking about. I would, diamond lath or broken metal lath is pretty good for hanging on to stuff. I guess if I was going to use a diamond lath or a broken metal lath, it's the same thing. I would put it on with a bunch of cement screws, a bunch of Tapcon screws or something like
that.
Put some washers on it. And then just research the product. Does that make sense to you, Nathaniel?
I don't know about, you know, you're right about the freeze thaw because, you know, you don't see a lot of crappy stucco buildings in Michigan, right? It's all real solid masonry stuff. So double check that. I don't know, but we should look into it.
There's many products. You know, back in the day, it was just like, well, this is mortar and this is type S and add lime to the cement mix or whatever it is. And now there's just a whole bunch of good products.
And then how are you going to delineate the smooth coat texture with the old brick? Are you going to put some kind of a piece of trim on top or another course of bricks? What are you going to do design-wise?
There's a little cantilevered brick course, like two brick courses that go between the foundation and then the first floor. So like basically you got like an inch of overhang of like brick. Two courses going, you know, horizontal, and then the first floor begins, and then it goes up from there. So it'll be like a foundation below, and then double brick course above.
And then don't you want to fix the drainage, too, so it doesn't do the same thing to the stucco or whatever you end up doing, right? Because that splashback sounds like it's been an issue.
So then maybe just like grade with some topsoil a little bit better and clean the whole thing up.
Yeah.
I knew, thanks, Nathaniel. I was talking about this the other day. I don't remember if it was on my podcast or whatever, but I remember my very early thoughts about getting out of construction stemmed from doing a repointing job.
That's
on brick.
Man. Yeah.
It's funny because I just come walking to my kitchen every single night and my son is just standing in the kitchen talking my nanny's ear off about football. He just talks and talks and talks and talks.
She likes listening or
she's paid to listen. That's what I tell her. You stand there and you pretend to listen.
Yeah.
And I
got rid of the cat. You listen to my fucking son.
And I realized that when I was Sonny's age, I just talked and talked and talked and talked. Yeah. Now, nobody in my family talked or listened. So I would find myself just talking and talking and talking, and my parents don't talk or didn't talk, and nobody talked. No one wanted to hear what I had to say. But I realized it's in his gene. He's genetically wired to just gab. Not like gossip, but just like talk and talk and talk. That's like all.
But
all
I mean,
he does.
That's what. That is your hypervigilance the reason you do that, or is it that you just talk, talk, talk?
I just
because I mean, look what you did with your talking. So you think he's got the stuff?
He does. I noticed everything, and I would just talk about it.
Yeah.
And then the normal reaction from everyone was like, I don't know, who cares? Shut up.
Yeah.
And then they would always go, it's funny. They go, why are you obsessed with blah blah blah? And I wouldn't be like, I'm not obsessed with it. Yeah. I'm noticing it. And then for me. Probably like met Jimmy Kimmel and he went like, oh, you're a good talker.
Yeah. Talking's good.
Everyone else was like, shut up, shut up, leave me alone, shut up. So, and my friends were dumb and they were just telling me to shut up all the time. But my son's got the talking gene.
Yeah.
I have the talking
gene. Yeah, yeah.
But I was working construction with a bunch of illegals in a hole.
And there's nothing to say.
So, but when I realized maybe this isn't for me, is I was doing a earthquake job downtown early on, and I was sitting once in a while, every once in a blue moon there'd be the cool white guy you worked with. I'm not breaking it down along racial lines. The Mexican guys, most of the guys don't speak English.
Sure.
So it's like every once in a while there'd be the dude, and he was like working the summer, but he was going to college or he was in a band and he was just working.
Maybe he had a little
bit
longer hair.
And they're doing a show that weekend at Gazzari's or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, someone I can talk to.
Yeah.
And me and this white dude who had kind of a sense of humor, was kind of a fun dude. And we're both sitting on big scaffolding, about 8-10 feet off the ground. The scaffolding, we're just sitting on the boards and just hanging our feet off it.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're repointing a whole wall.
Yeah.
Just had the hawk and the tuck trowel. And we're just sitting there.
Monotonous as hell.
Monotonous as shit. He's sitting about 6 feet from me. I'm sitting there. And like every, we get this section done, we'd roll it over another 10 feet, get the next section done. And we're just sitting there no radio, no earbuds, no phones, no nothing. Just holding the hawk, holding the tuck drown. We're just sitting there facing the wall.
Yeah.
Just your nose is 16 inches from the wall, and just sitting there, and he's sitting there, and it's talking about the Doobie Brothers got a new album. They sound, you haven't heard it? Yeah. Oh, it's pretty cool. And at some point, our foreman, a guy named Mike with a big mustache, Vietnam vet, it was a dick. He just walked past us, and he's walking past us. He goes, "Hey, no talking." And he just kept walking. Yeah. And I was like, why can't we talk? We're facing the wall, tucking mortar in between bricks.
Suffering and construction.
It's the most monotonous thing in the world.
Yeah.
And Mike was just a dick. And now we're like sitting there, and he's like walked down, you know, he's going to his truck, and I'm like whispering.
Yeah. I do like the Doobie Brothers record.
I'm like, why am I being punished? Like, it's a
That's
weird...
true. There's the shame thing with a boss that's shaming and tells you you stink. And I worked for a guy that used to, I'd put up a whole mosaic of a thing, and I did Woody Harrelson's Oxygen Bar back in the 90s. It was up on Sunset. And it was one of the first ones, and they couldn't get a permit because you can't sell oxygen in Los Angeles for some reason. But we all tried to make this thing happen. I did this cool mosaic. The contractor comes in. He had, like, I think bipolar disorder or something. He comes in, looks at my work, and just starts kicking all my tile off the wall.
Really?
At which point I stood up and I shoved him and threw him down, and then I got fired. And I was like, you can't tell me, man. It was like one of those things. And it was the moment where I probably should have gotten out of construction, yet I did not.
Yeah.
But that guy ended up working with a friend of mine and shocked himself in an attic and stood up and a 3-inch nail from the roof punctured his head and like messed up his brain a bit, which was like this for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah. I ran into this guy's ex-wife, this guy, Mike Stermatt, who was fucking horrible.
That was the foreman guy with the mustache?
Yeah. He would just curse at us and like tell us no talking. He would line everyone up on Monday and just go, "When are you quitting this week?"
I'd
go, "Why?"
So
why again? He goes, "Because I'm going to fucking ride your ass so hard.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ride you so hard, you're going to quit.
So I can make 9% more money,
and I was
maybe.
Like, I make $8 an hour, and I work hard.
Right.
You know, I just dig in a hole all day." And he's like, "I'm going to ride your ass.
Yeah.
I'll get you to quit." Yeah. I was like, I should have said to him, "Mike, I'm already sufficiently miserable. I live in a fucking garage with no air conditioning, and my parents are fucks next.
Yeah.
I have nothing. I'm miserable. You can't make me more miserable.
Yeah.
I appreciate the effort, but I'm here.
Right.
I'm not off at college. I'm not banging my cheerleader girlfriend.
No.
I'm in a fucking hole in Silver Lake.
Yeah. Digging, just trying to talk about the Doobie Brothers, for God's sake.
Digging a fucking hole for $8 an hour. I am miserable."
What happened to him? Please say he's dead.
Well, what happened was is the other guy...
Yeah.
Was named Chris Whitehead, and he was surfer guy from Topanga, and he was cool.
Yeah.
So it'd always be like, "I got to go work. Can I get on to Chris's job?"
Right.
"And off of this fucking job,"
right.
Because this guy Mike was such an asshole.
Yeah.
And so eventually at some point I got on to Chris's job, but then if you ever fucked up on Chris's job, he'd like, you're gonna go to Mike's job tomorrow. You know, you'd be like, "Oh no, I'll do your job because you're like normal."
Right.
So I ended up working on his jobs and tried to steer clear of Mike.
Yeah.
I ran into his ex-wife on the road once a million years ago, and she's like, "That guy's the meanest guy." Oh God, I know. But by the way, it's just luck of the draw. My first foreman was just the meanest.
Probably the best thing that ever happened to you, though, right? I mean,
I don't know. Like, I was pretty bottomed out already when I got there.
Yeah.
This just made it. It was a bad confluence of shittiest job ever, which was having to dig caisson holes in the bottom of a house that was already built, so we couldn't get a caisson rig. Had to dig them by hand.
Yeah.
Had to get in a bedrock and go in a hole.
Just awful.
During the summer.
Yeah.
have to fill up a bucket with a rope on it. A guy would pull it up.
I know.
Just sit in a hole.
But I mean, there is something to be said about I don't think my kids will ever have that
kind of job. Those
pussies. But you got to have one of those so you know what you don't want to do, don't you? You have to at least have the worst job in the history of the world so you know what the best job is.
You know, I was talking to Dr. Drew about this.
Yeah.
And I said, everybody needs to establish a base.
Yeah.
My base was a whole bunch of tackle football getting yelled at by dudes in windbreakers,
right,
and then a whole bunch of construction.
Windbreakers and coaches' pants. Right. Remember those things?
Double snaps on the front. And then a whole bunch of doing construction getting yelled at.
Yeah.
There, that's my base.
Yeah.
I've established my base.
Right.
Nothing else really bothers me.
Right.
I don't mind working weekends. I don't look at doing stand-up as a job.
Sure.
You know what I mean? My base was built on two-a-days in 105-degree weather,
right,
in the San Fernando Valley, begging,
right,
for water, and them,
right,
screaming, water's bad for
water's
you,
for
you know.
Pussies.
Yeah, water's for pussies. Yeah. Seriously. And then getting in a hole,
yeah,
for 8 hours and digging. I don't think most people have the experience of a 10-hour digging day where it's not – you do a little digging, and now we're going to set the mailbox post.
Yeah,
no. Digging.
10.
That's just 10 hours of you will do. You will have no radio.
Yeah.
You'll have no earbuds.
And like 3 inches is a huge day if you get 3 inches in.
Well,
right?
If you're into bedrock, then you're using a breaker bar to bust it up and scoop it up. But we were just digging. All I did was literally dig ditches for 10 hours a day, every day.
Yeah.
And once you get to that point in life, your base
is set. Everything's better. Everything's better, right?
And you know how to take instruction and listen to people.
But my kids aren't going to ever have that job, and that's not good.
I
think
we
got to get Sonny and my kids in some shit job for a minute. Right? What are we going to do?
I don't know, but...
You know,
I've realized,
under the guise of like giving your kids a better life, I think you're just screwing them up.
Totally screwing them up.
Yeah.
I've realized that the key to all of this is since age 7, I got yelled at by guys in windbreakers telling me how to fix what I was doing.
Right.
And I always just went, yes, sir. Like,
yeah.
I was like, this guy wants me to fix. I talk to people all day, like, here's what you got to fix. And they argue with me the whole time.
Yeah.
And I realize they don't have a base.
Do you want to know?
Need a base.
Here's what we got to get here at Corolla Digital.
Mm.
A driving sled for football. And they come
home.
You get on that.
I stand on the
and
sled.
And they drive the sled in the parking lot.
Matt, get my bike shorts. Now, they're not cycling shorts. They're called bike
and the Rydell shoes with the zigzag soles. Remember
those? I want
those?
Some 70s Rydell shoes with the rubber serrated sole.
And didn't you notice those shoes because you were always down?
Hold on,
the sled?
I might use Spot Built. I just blew your mind.
You did, man.
All right, let me hit Blinds Galore.
One.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe you remember that.
Blinds Galore, man. Your home. It reflects your personality. Blinds Galore believes you deserve custom-built quality blinds and shades that bring out your style. Over 2 million windows and counting, hand-built from scratch, delivered right to your door. These guys are the best, and I'm telling you, the new stuff, they have the electronic stuff, and I had a conundrum. Like, I have windows in my master bedroom that are, like, up high. Like, you'd need an A-frame ladder.
Sure.
And I'm like, how the hell? And then I go, electric blinds. And I'm like, oh, but what? I got to pull lamp cord or Lovo, and where am I putting the transformers?
Right.
Just charge them up.
Get out.
Charge them up. They come with a remote.
USB-ish?
Yeah.
Come on.
Charge it up. I think it went about 6 months, even longer. Just charge it again.
Good
easier,
stuff,
like
man.
A phone. They have the new Build a Blind tool, makes things even easier to create your custom window treatments online. See exactly how your blinds and shades are going to look before you buy. It is the best. It's Blinds Galore, right, Matt?
That's right. Whether you need more privacy to sleep in, to cool down, or just fix up a room, BlindsGalore.com is just what you're looking for. Check them out and let them know Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
Spot Built.
So the guys had... They're the shorts, man.
Yes.
Double snap.
By the way, that's antique meats in that gentleman's midsection from many years ago.
Double snap, tight polyester shorts.
Yeah, that's it.
Every coach, every coach wore these things. Right. I don't know how. And then the shoes, which were either spot built or Rydell, were black with a black serrated. It's like.
Like almost like nurse's shoes soles, but like triangular.
I'll tell you who would wear them.
Yeah.
When AstroTurf first came out, like referees would wear them.
Right.
And like interior linemen would wear them. They got a little bit of that spot.
Spot
we're
built's
some
the one, the second from the left is spot built. I could tell by the, the collar on the edge.
Yeah. All the coaches, big forearm dudes.
Yeah.
They dressed, I don't know why they all dressed a certain way. But those guys would stand on the sled.
And you wouldn't notice them. You just notice those shoes because you're looking down as you're driving the sled.
And now let me explain what is missing from everybody's childhood.
Yeah.
Everyone under 40's childhood.
What?
I'll tell you exactly what's missing.
All right.
And this is why people have difficulty with instruction and tasks.
Yeah.
Line everybody up on that seven-man sled.
Ah.
Guy with the Rydells and the bike shorts would stand there.
Yeah, right in the middle.
He'd make some sort of joke where you go, gentlemen, line up. And I use that term loosely. He'd crack himself up. And then he'd go, all right, everybody in a three-point stance.
Yeah.
And he'd lean over. He'd stand in the middle of the sled.
Yeah.
And he'd hold the
like
ball.
Like Ben Hur driving a carriage.
He'd hold the ball out in front. Would, and he'd go, now, everybody. Ignore the snap count and look at the ball. Go on ball movement, not snap count. And he'd hold that ball out in front. And everybody looking. And at some point, he'd go, hey, hut, hut, sit, hut. And at one point, the fat kid would lurch forward and hit the sled. Not really
go,
hit it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then this guy would say, this is the key component missing from everyone under 40's childhood.
Yeah.
Well, you're all doing a lap,
yeah.
And you can thank Higginstaller.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone would go, fuck you, fucking Higginstaller, and it all start running laps.
Yeah.
They would never let you do that now.
No, they wouldn't.
They would never
you
let
know
you
why?
Do that.
Because you might hurt his feelings.
You'd be shaming Higginstaller.
Yes, you would.
Guess who got cured of the problem of jumping off sides? Higginstaller.
Yes, he did.
Very
it
quickly.
Made him better, didn't it?
It certainly did.
Yes, he might have even lost weight by wearing that plastic suit.
The weird plastic jogging suit was the other one. The coaches would wear and players would wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make weight for wrestling.
Oh, man. You know it. It. That sled. That
but I'll
was
tell
awesome.
You, there's something about that feeling that you cannot replicate now because nobody practices that way. Like, to your point, you don't even wear pads anymore to practice. They only hit once
man.
A week.
Terrible. Oh man!
I have brain damage. I think.
Oh,
do you?
I played.
Did you ever get concussions?
Oh, think? I got knocked out multiple times.
Yeah, me too.
In Pop Warner,
yeah.
not even high school.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd play bull in the ring.
Sure,
nobody plays bull in the ring anymore.
Do you remember where they would someone would challenge your position, and then after practice, did you do this where you'd be two down linemen, there'd be a running back who try and get through, and then somebody would challenge you at the line like that?
I just got done talking about this. Mr. Fitzgerald, you know, if you played quarterback or wide flanker, you wouldn't do it.
Right.
But if you're any defensive player or down lineman or anything, Mr. Fitzgerald, he'd just stand there scratching his beard, talking to nine-year-olds, you know, and he'd be like, some of you think you should be starting and aren't starting.
Yeah.
Well, Friday practice, Saturday's game.
Yeah.
Friday practice, end of practice, call out the guy who's starting in front of you and challenge him.
Yeah.
Take him on. We'll just line it up and you guys go for it.
Between two tackling dummies.
I don't think he even did a running back tackling dummy. He literally just drew a line.
Oh, he did.
And he went, just line it up.
Oh, that's even better.
And go at it.
Yeah.
And these kids are just going at it.
Yeah.
And it's like, he lets you go at it for 30 seconds and blow the whistle.
Blow the
whatever
whistle.
Side of that line you were on. Wasn't all that scientific.
No.
Mr. Goddamn Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
He brought, could you guys imagine this? I'm looking at Matt and Gary over there. He brought a barbell set, a set of barbells to the park, like just a barbell with weights.
Yeah.
And seven-year-olds, he either did it first year, seven or eight, gremlins.
Yeah.
He took a set of barbell. He brought his set on the grass. He's like, I'll find out who the strongest kid on this team is. And he just kept like packing weight on it. Kids were like trying to lift it. Like, being, like I was strongest fucking kid
you
on
were?
The team.
That's great.
Oh, I used to be super fucking strong until Jeez. My bad genetics kicked in.
But stop it.
No, I mean it. I was super athletic, yeah. and I was just the strongest kid on the team.
Yeah.
But he literally just brought a dump barbell in. It was like, you know, everyone's going to try to lift it over their
right,
head.
Right.
I'm just going to keep packing on
it's
weight.
Fantastic.
God. All right, we got a quick vid question.
Yeah, we do. And
well,
as always,
why don't we, let's do the email one or,
sure,
or whatever.
No
want.
Problem. Please email us your emails or your videos, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see the various pictures. Here's the email from Daniel in San Diego. Hey, guys, we have a whirlpool bathtub that we never use the jets on. They seem to just get nasty and lately lots of bugs. How can we cap or seal up these 6 ports and the intake? My wife would prefer a bug-free bath. I'm not super handy, but not completely useless. Would love your ideas on how to fix this issue in our master bath.
All right. I would say...
I would say pool supply, not like Leslie's, but a real pool supply. They sell... watertight plugs that you can plug into those holes, but you have to get the jets out.
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, it's a fiberglass tub. First thing that popped in my head,
yeah,
I'd go to our sponsor, Zorro, and see what they have. If yeah. they don't have it, Granger has tons of caps and shims and like just, you know, grommets
yeah.
and stuff like that. I'm thinking somewhere between a sort of cappy grommety thing with marine silicone.
You how dare you with the marine silicone? That's a beautiful product, isn't it?
I'm telling you, you're talking to a guy who put glass windows at a pool bar.
Oh, really?
And I put the glass windows
You mean
in.
Underwater like James Bond? You're looking at the girl swim while you're having a highball? Is that what you're saying? Underwater?
Yes, I am.
How dare you? Really? With a like a Persian kitty and having a drink? That
mm-hmm.
deal?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
And I put those things in, and I use marine silicone.
Where was this place?
It's in Hollywood, and I just used the weight, the pressure of the water to push the glass
like an
out.
Aquarium,
I made a shelf. Yeah, but not like an aquarium. I built a, there's the bar, a picture of it. The windows are going into the
Wait,
pool.
That's your house?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel, what is that place? When was that?
That's 10 years ago.
So did you ever actually see people jump in bathing suits while you were having a highball?
In fact, if you watch Road Hard, you can see a shot that goes through that window.
Oh, if you watch the movie Road Hard, yeah.
Who's in there? Who's swimming in the pool?
It's a topless chick,
what?
I think, in there, yeah.
Chicks with big titties.
Yeah.
Great.
Are you out of your minds? Where the hell was I at this point? I could have been there playing pool like
you
Tom
had some
Jones.
Guy kicking your stucco mosaic off the wall.
Yeah. It's right.
Yeah.
Look at that place. That's beautiful,
yeah.
man.
I don't feel like I'm fully celebrated.
What is on
I'm,
the ceiling?
I'm partially
what do you
celebrated,
got on the ceiling,
but I'm not
man.
Fully celebrated. I think I decided to take a bunch of, I took a bunch of old school nudie playing cards from back in the day,
God.
Like 50s nudie playing cards when it used to be something, and I just stuck nudie playing cards in the
And then
ceiling.
Is that old paneling that you refinished, or did you put that in?
I gave everything an old look. Everything was,
cool.
was new, and
Very
I,
cool.
I built the door, I built the bar.
And the pool was there, but you just cut the pool out and put the windows in?
I did a core. I cored a 14-inch hole, went in about 3 inches, pulled it out, and then cored in a one-foot hole all the way through, and I built a
Badass,
shelf.
Badass, man. Why don't you have like a coffee table book of your places? The hell are you doing?
I don't know.
Don't you have a bunch of photo images of all this stuff?
I don't have a good taste in my mouth about this place because all I did was argue with my wife about airing it out once a month, and
oh,
she
really?
Never did.
Oh.
And then we just argue about it.
I got you.
And I thought, I don't get. It's kind of a weird thing. Your reaction to this bar is a normal reaction, which
yeah.
is holy shit.
Right.
My wife's reaction was like, I don't want to go air it out. I was like, okay. It's like it's a weird reaction to have to the world's coolest.
Maybe
bar.
You got. Maybe you have to have that in your life, though, from your spouse.
Say that, like people do the your family. They're just keeping you grounded. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's a little more like torture. Yeah,
they don't laugh at the bits, right?
I don't know. I don't know if they've heard the bits. Yeah. All right, take care of some business.
Hey,
there.
You know everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk. How about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. 15% off of car insurance is a huge bargain, right? Extra money in your pocket, you bet. That's the most rewarding you can do today. Geico.com.
Geico.
There it is.
Yeah, so I would see about finding a cap. Remember, the water pressure will press against the cap,
sure.
And you'll be fine. That's what I did with my glass.
But I would think about getting the multi-tool machine, cutting out the old jets,
mm-hmm.
being careful not to mar the tub.
Right.
Getting
push
them
in.
Because it's going to just be a perfectly circular hole.
Right.
And then get some kind of cap and use your silicone.
Yeah. It'll work. It'll work, and just tape it up until it's dry. All right. What do we got? Plugs up there, Matt. Let's see. Live show, October 3rd, West Palm Beach. Improv will be doing it.
Ooh, that's going to be fun,
live,
I bet.
Yeah, that's a live pod over there.
Jeez, West Palm, that's a nice area.
Nice improv over there.
Sure.
And then this Friday, 27th, that'll be at the Napa Uptown Theater. I'll be doing stand-up there, so
yeah.
You can come say hi.
Great.
If you like. Just go to adamcroll.com for
you're
all the
get some delicious
live
wines
shows.
While you're up there in the Napa?
I imagine we're always in and out real fast, but we'll have a good time.
Right.
And go to Chassis, Chassy, for all the movies. You can pre-order uppity now. What do you got, Strummer?
Come visit me on the social media, please. Please, the questions are fantastic. Send them.
And say hi to our friend T.I. Expeditiously with T.I. New podcast on Podcast One. Apple Podcast. Till next time. Adam Kroll for Eric Strummer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.